From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. At about 3 o'clock on a recent Wednesday morning, I was sound asleep when my phone went off. I mean, it went berserk. By sunrise, we learned the rain had flooded a huge swath of South Jersey. Thankfully, it happened in the middle of the night and nobody was hurt, but we had been warned. So far this year, the National Weather Service in Mount Holly has issued 140 severe thunderstorm warnings, more than triple the number from last year. The same is true with the 31 flash flood warnings this year, compared to 17 from last year. That means the weather has gotten worse. But do people actually pay attention to weather alerts?
Yeah, they're helpful once, but they don't have to keep resending it.
Well, I mean, I take account of them, but normally they don't affect me.
Well, they usually startle you when they go off, and then when you look at them, it's usually kind of off.
Why have alerts gone up? And why are meteorologists and social scientists rethinking the way they warn us about dangerous weather events? Today on The Why, is the sky really falling? We spoke to Rachel Hogan Carr of the Nurture Nature Center in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Nurture Nature Center is, at its core, looking at how to help communities to understand environmental risks better so that they can have a strong science understanding and understand the strategies for building resiliency.
Let's talk about these weather alerts.
It's timely.
So how does the Nature Nurture Center relate to all these weather alerts we get on our phones and on TV? How does your research play into that?
What we've been looking at is trying to understand how people respond to weather forecasts when they come through. And specifically, we have looked at flooding, but that involves getting flash flood watches, flash flood warnings, any number of different watches and warnings that come through on your phone, that come through on various apps you may have, that may wake you up in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. And we've been looking at trying to understand by interviewing and holding focus groups and surveys how it is that people understand these warnings when they come in, and what is it that motivates them to take action when they hear one?
I'm trying to remember how we got warnings like this before the advent of cell phones and before the internet. Did we get just as many?
I suspect we probably received fewer because the Weather Service has refined its process and has made clear more categories. But how we got them is the big difference. And we got them on the TV. It ran on the little ticker on the bottom
That's
of
right.
your, if you remember, and you'd hear that noise, the beep would come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how we got our watches and warnings. And that relied on everybody watching TV.
And I have to say, that really scared me because it happened so seldom.
It happened so seldom, right. And so it really had a big impact when you did hear that.
Sure. Is there a better way that we can communicate the differences in alert severity? Should there be different language? Should there be less language? Should there be, like, maybe even a number system so that people know how much danger they're in?
There's a lot of work going on in this area right now. You're asking an important question, and the Weather Service itself is looking inward to understand that it gives aerial flood advisories and flash flood watches and flood watches, and those all mean very different things. They sound very similar to our ears. And so there is a process in place right now to try to streamline these. The most important job, I think, is to make sure that people are, in any situation, signed up to receive the information adequately. The Weather Service has thresholds that they use to trigger these watches and warnings. What we have done is make recommendations to meteorologists about the types of language that they use, the way that they format the watches and the warnings, and the way that they present a wide range of forecast products, actually. And we've learned that the kind of words that are used in these can be either motivational or demotivational.
What are some of the words?
We learned, for instance, that the word significant.
Significant weather advisory for southern Clatsop and northwestern Tillamook counties until 11:15 a.m.
If there is a significant event coming, people have pointed out to us in our focus group research that significant means something very different to me than it means to you. The word damaging, on the other hand, tells us that we should expect serious impact. So that word may, in some circumstances, work a lot better than saying something is significant.
Do you know the difference between a warning and a watch?
No.
Vaguely.
Yeah, a watch means they're just kind of monitoring it, and a warning means it's coming.
So a watch means that conditions are ripe for the event to happen. In the case of a flood event, it means there is a forecast for heavy rainfall precipitation. The soil is already saturated. If a lot of rain comes like they think it's going to, really good chance your area is going to flood. At that point, the professionals wish that we would be doing things like starting to take preparations, like planning our trips for the afternoon, maybe trying to do what we have to get and get it done out of the way so we can be safely home before this happens. By the time you get to a watch or warning, if you haven't taken action, you're likely too late.
You know what really impacts me? The warning that I saw was flood imminent. Stay in. This is not a drill. You know,
it's like one of those things. Yes. And others have told us similar stories, and myself included, that when you get a special note or a special briefing or a special notice from one of the forecasters that says, this time we really mean business, it does cause people to sit up and take action. We had a study that we did down in the areas affected by Superstorm Sandy along the beach.
Sandy is more than 200 miles off the coast. It is about to crash into two other systems when it makes landfall.
And there was a situation there where one of the forecasters issued an emergency notice to the community that said essentially what you're saying. I am not joking, and here's my phone number, and if you think this is a joke, call me when it's all over and I'll be glad you're alive. And we heard over and over and over how motivational to the people in our focus groups that message was.
What does your research tell you about people's tendency to listen, to actually pay attention?
Experience with the events really matters. So those who have caught themselves in a dangerous driving situation in the past may be more mindful in the future. Those who have watched too many videos of cars driving into floodwaters and think that that's safe to do are more likely to drive into floodwaters. So the experience that we have and the images that we see really make a big difference. The other thing that we know is people are very much influenced by the behaviors of their neighbors. So you may hear a large federal government warning. But if it's stamped from your local emergency management office or your local fire department has told you about that, then you're much more likely to take action.
Every time there's a quote-unquote weather event on the horizon, everything starts going off.
Right.
You know, our phones, social media, TV. And then when nothing happens, does that make people tune out?
Sometimes I think that it does. Sometimes I think that people stop paying attention when they don't experience the local impact. I think education is a key part of this process for getting people to understand their actual risk. And I think sometimes people reject what they see as the hyping of weather news stories. And they don't want every single storm to have a name, but for those to be reserved for really high impact events. And people struggle to determine the difference between a high impact weather event and your routine thunderstorm on a Thursday afternoon that you can handle without turning your life upside down. And if it feels like you're getting warnings for all of those, people start to wonder when they get the next one.
Are we getting warnings for all of those?
We're only getting watches and warnings when the forecasters expect a serious event. And so it's really a matter of scale. And I take every watch and warning very seriously because I know I've worked with a lot of these meteorologists. They don't issue them unless they really expect that there is going to be potential risk to life and safety. They're not issuing them simply because it's going to be a cruddy day. they have really serious thresholds that they have to pass in order to get to the point of issuing a watch or warning. So when they come out, we should be taking them very seriously. And when we don't experience an impact, we should be giving thanks and understanding that the neighbors, maybe 8 miles to the south of us, just really did. And the next time, we may not be so lucky.
So you're not an advocate for fewer alerts?
I am an advocate for streamlining the watch and warning process so that there are fewer categories and fewer words defining the distinctions, moving toward an impact-based warning system that tells people what to expect in terms of how is this going to affect my home? Am I going to have a lot of hail? Am I going to have damage to the house? Are the roads going to flood? These are the impacts people need to know about. They probably need to know a little less about the meteorological background about what's happening, more like what should I be expecting at home? So I'm not for issuing fewer of them if we're having more events. We need the heads up. It's how we talk about them that's so critical.
So, Rachel, should we be thinking about this in a more urgent way because of climate change?
Climate change science is very clear that, especially in the Northeast United States where we are, which is already a generally wet geographic region, we should expect more water. We should expect more rainfall. We should expect more episodes of intense precipitation of the kind that is likely to trigger a watch or a warning. And so the issue only gets harder and more complicated as we move forward in time, I anticipate, because we're going to experience more of these events, triggering more of these alerts, and people are going to have to learn how to incorporate extreme weather preparedness into their day-to-day lives. The app that we use, the sources that we check, the processes that we have, the evacuation roads that we use, the alternate planning that we make, this has to become part of daily life to live responsibly in a community.
Rachel, thanks so much for coming down from Easton today. Great information to get.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Dern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.